money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. Money, money, money always funny in a rich man's world.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Lord, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Brendan Carnan. She's AV back on the board, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So what do we have to do? Follow a bulldozer up the ramp? That's what the deal was this morning?
Sorry?
We ran lower whacker trying to get on to Harrison. All of a sudden, we're stopped, and there's this little guy in a bulldozer going up the ramp, not very fast, but he wasn't moving either.
How did he get down to Lower Wacker?
I have no idea, but he was heading some other place.
Huh.
Anyway, SP Futures up 8. I keep seeing Dow Futures bounce. Everybody on the radio this morning is talking it up. For God's sake, we're down 1,000 points. Yes, they were up 79. It's not even a dead cat bounce yet. Now, we could very well. NASDAQ is up 45. Just the unhappy totals yesterday, in case you mercifully missed them. Dow down 1,031. Ouch. S&P 500 down 111.86 and NASDAQ down 355, 3.71. That's the worst drop in 2 years. It's pretty nasty.
I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was a longer period of time than just 2 years.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick up here while we're talking. While you're regaling us on the coronavirus, I was going to kick up Dow's worst losses. And I don't really remember a 1,000-point drop in the last 2 years either. So I'm going to dig up in here, but
yeah, it seems like it was a lot longer than that. But I mean, it's a significant hit.
Yeah, plus it was really there was a little bit of a chance on the close where we started to bounce up, and I said, you know, I need to buy these calls, and of course I didn't. And the biggest one was in 87, obviously, when we were.
Yeah, I remember that.
These are daily, the daily changes. Now you got to go with the largest point changes was 1,175 points. That was in 2018-25. So that was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
basically.
Okay, I didn't remember that one.
And 2.8 was 1,032. And now, and yesterday was $1, so it's the third largest point drop ever. Huh. And, but now those were another full percent. That was 4.6% in 2018. So it's a shot down. I mean, mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But so right about 2:30, the, S&Ps were down like 120 or something. Those are the futures. I said, you know, I should buy some of these 15 calls, and they were 14 cents. Sure enough, I don't buy them. They start going up, up, up. They trade 70 cents. All of a sudden, the attempt to buy the close kind of falters. It goes the other way to things are like 70, 60, 50, like zero. you had a chance. You know, if you bought them at 14 and had a sell in at like 65, you made pretty good dough in like 10 minutes, but if you didn't, there's no way you could have got the order in fast enough when it started to go back down again. So it was several attempts to buy, but I'm going to say we closed, if not right on the low, real close, which is not a good sign.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's definitely not a good sign for that. So anyway, but it's, I would say a lot to do with, and we were, you know, I'm going to say we were waxing poetic yesterday. How's that for a term?
And you do you believe that the economic advisor, Mr. Kudlow, your buddy, and the president were right when they tell people they should have bought yesterday?
I think that they're blithering idiots, to be honest with you. Nobody knows.
Is that because of the advice they gave or the fact that they gave advice, given their
Larry Kudlow is the thought that he is in that job. I was here I've been here for a long time, and I remember before the fiasco in 2008, he was on CNBC as this big expert, and all he kept talking about, because he loved George Bush and doesn't like any Democrats, and, you know, maybe there's some Democrats you don't want to like, but he kept talking about the economy. Here's a man who has access to all this stuff. It was the greatest story never told, the Goldilocks economy, and why George Bush didn't get credit for all this stuff. There was no problem. Everything was fine. And what happened? It was a fiasco. It was a disaster. How the guy's still on TV, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone the job he's in. I mean, if I'd have made that kind of an error with my customers, you know, I mean, I don't get it. Some people are just Teflon, you know,
yeah.
and we may bounce right back from this. I mean, mm-hmm. I suspect what we were talking about yesterday, Brennan, and I don't want to go through it again, but you have to go through it a little bit because you have no idea what's under the scenes. I mean, but the idea is this coronavirus. I mean, I spent an awful lot of time this weekend going over this thing. I mean, as best you can. And there's, you know, I'll get the live updates here. There's this one thing on CNBC that has live updates constantly. But, you know, there's good news and there's bad news. I mean, the bad news is we don't seem to be able to contain it. The good news is the people that are dying, you might, if you look at how many people have actually reported themselves having it, and you look at the amount of people that have it that don't even have any symptoms at all,
mm-hmm.
we the disease might be down to slightly over 1% mortality rate, which is virtually the same as every other flu.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it good, but it's probably not the 2%, 2.5%, or 3% that people were fearing. And if that's the case, you know,
although aren't the numbers in South Korea much higher, showing a much higher rate? Isn't that more like 15% or 20%?
What I'm saying is the people that are ill from it,
mm-hmm.
okay, and get the pneumonia and get that stuff and make themselves to a hospital, just like the people here who get the flu that have issues, you know, other issues. Not that if you're healthy you can't have a problem with it, you obviously can, but if you, those are the people that report it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more and more people that actually have it, that's what this guy in China was saying. It may actually be that the rate of all the people who have it is 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not talking about a good thing here. I'm saying this is the good piece of the news. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for instance, if it landed here, only the people that were sick would be the ones that would go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a smaller percentage than all the people who have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now those people who go to the hospital. If they're going to be confirmed with it, okay. So it appears that day 4 through 7 are your key days. And if it lands and you have some other disease like pneumonia or something else you're working off, that if you make it through 4 to 7, then it's like the regular flu. It just kind of goes down although it seems to last more than 14 days. So the 14-day quarantine's probably not enough. That's a piece of the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm picking up good and bad news as I read article after article here. The other pieces of bad news are that the tests are not very good,
and there's no way to treat it.
Well, they have people that they've tested that have come up negative, and they've tested them an hour later and have been positive. So
mm-hmm.
so you get false negatives on the test, and plus it appears that you can be a carrier without any symptoms whatsoever. Some lady in Japan. Came back from China, had zero symptoms, so taking her temperature at the airport and stuff wouldn't have done any good. She got home, she infected her entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on her second test, they found out that she has it, but she has no fever, no nothing. She mm-hmm. feels fine. So, that's a problem. So, I mean, like I said, we're uncovering good news and bad news as we go. And what the good news appears to be that the mortality rate is almost like a regular flu. In which case, I'm going to say if it's a month from now and they keep losing border after border after border, they're just going to say deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's like the common cold.
Well, how do you think that this really plays into the political realm? Because of the impact on the market, because a significant impact on the market, if it still holds the way that it did yesterday by causing drops in the market, how does that impact the American economy going into a political year?
Well, the question is, it depends on things we don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, You've heard me before talk about where I think the holes are in the world's economy.
Mm-hmm.
The big hole, the big gorilla in the room, is since 2008 when we had a problem with too much debt. We've got way more debt now than we did then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So therein lies the rub. So now China has, like talk about it every day, I'm going to do some research on it today, so tomorrow I'll try and get some numbers, I promise, that there is a dramatic amount, like trillions of dollars, not 100 trillion, but several trillion dollars of maybe a trillion and a half, two at least, of dollar-denominated Chinese debt, or euro-denominated, or Swiss franc-denominated, whatever. The debt goes through the system. They're direct loans to people from people outside to China. Now the government doesn't give a rat's behind about this stuff because it didn't go through the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some company, I mean, you know, Brendan and Chief, hot dog stand, couldn't get a loan here. We went right to Europe and we borrowed the money from somebody. Now the U.S. government doesn't care about that, do they? Why would they? It's a loan between you and me and them. Now, if all of a sudden we can't pay that loan, all right, which was starting to happen anyway,
mm-hmm.
because as the Chinese yuan went down, the interest payments started to be more money in Chinese terms. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part I keep talking about on the show all the time, and I know it's hard to get someplace because people here, including me, are just not used to talking about things in other than dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not used to, well, your interest costs went up 50% this month because, 50% is a lot. 20% because the yuan dropped. Because what the hell's the yuan? Who cares about the yuan? We're in dollars. Well, no, you're not in dollars if you're in China and you're paying interest in dollars, but your local currency is yuan. So now you got a problem. So in other words, if this starts to happen, now there's going to be somebody over here where the person who lent us the money got the money. There's going to be someplace. He's either got it from a bank. If you got it from investors, you know, you're okay, sort of, because it's equity then now. It's not a loan. So people are just bleep out of luck on the equity, you know.
That's what they used to say about the guy on the corner when he gave you a loan.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm saying is if, in other words, if 1,000 people put up $1 million apiece and gave out loans to China and the firm XYZ, you know, hedge fund or whatever, if that's all equity, then it's, you know, it's not good that those people lose the money, mm-hmm. right? And it's never good when anybody loses money. But it's not the same as if they borrowed the money from Harris Bank, okay, and now can't pay Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to know how this all strings together before you can figure out who's at risk and how much. And it's really, really hard to do, Brendan. I mean, I can't do it. I mean, I'm going to say the head of Goldman Sachs has a much better clue on and where the skeletons are buried than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But even he probably isn't exactly sure because they almost went out last time, too. Because none of this stuff, it's not like I went through a whole routine yesterday that on the trading floor, if I bought a 10 lot from you and sold it to Angelica, I'm flat. I don't care. I go golfing, right?
All right. But my question is, with the impact that this is having yesterday on the market, how does this potentially impact the U.S. economy over the next couple of months?
The market is just a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if the people in China, because the economy's been so whacked over there for a couple of months, if they don't, quote, get back to work, and half of these people don't make an interest payment on all these loans and start reneging on all this stuff and stop buying stuff here, who's getting hurt here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. The disease itself, I mean, eventually we'll either figure it out or it'll become a disease like everything else. Some people make it, some people won't, right?
Right, but there are also different levels of disease.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about it would just become another flu.
Right, well, hopefully.
Here and around the world.
Unless it mutates, or, yeah, that's the risk.
Yeah, or it becomes the Spanish flu of 1918.
Yeah, which you don't want to have happen.
Which really has a dramatic impact around the world.
Right, well, I'm assuming here, don't ever be assuming an answer. I'm assuming that there's not going to be a mutation.
Mm-hmm.
That it stays the way it is, which is essentially a tough type A flu, even though it's different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if it becomes a 1918, decides to change, and gets more virulent, now the problem is multiplied God knows what. But as of now, I mean, the question is, right, we've had it in China now for what? 2 months. Is there a manufacturing company over there that has missed some payments here? If so, to whom? And if they missed them, to whom, do they have enough money to take care of it, or are they going to miss a payment to their bank? And if so, which bank?
Okay, but with the result yesterday, is that a result of people missing their payments, or is it anticipatory?
It's anticipatory. Plus, the market's just too high.
Mm-hmm.
If we're priced to perfection.
So when you're saying the market is too high, is something like this, would something like this be expected and occur even without the coronavirus?
I think. What happened? Again, this is one when you say the market's too high or low, nobody gets to say that, even though we
foolishly just said. But you just said that.
My point is, last year, we're hoping the economy gets better, mm-hmm. all right? So last year, if you look at the rise in the market in most stocks, somebody was just on CNBC with some big study like this, 95% of the rise in the market in the last year has to do with what we call margin increase. In other words, the earnings weren't any better. Very little bit. So what happened was companies went from 16 times earnings to 20 or 21, which is fine as long as this year the company starts making more money and essentially grows into the price.
Mm-hmm.
But now if something like this happens and you're saying, wait a minute, not only was last year kind of clunky and earnings, so is this year going to be maybe even worse. I mean, it's too early to say that, I think, because we could end up coming back from this. But if you say, okay, this year is going to be clunky too, now are we really going to get 2 years of 17% returns with no increase in income? Mm-hmm. That's a reach.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if the market was still at, say, 16 times earnings, you know, wherever the number is, like it was at the beginning of last year, we're probably not as susceptible. But since we went up this far, I mean, obviously Apple is way more susceptible at 325 than it was at 150.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a combination of everything. That's why it's hard to say when the market goes up or down, this is kind of what caused it. I mean, yeah, yesterday did the shock over the weekend. I was pretty stunned. I thought the week would come in yesterday morning and Nikkei'd be down 2% because there'd be more cases in Japan. I mean, I never dreamed. On Sunday, I'm reading all this stuff about, wait a minute, Turkey's shutting their border with Iraq. Not that anybody cares, or Iran, but I'm saying all of a sudden the acceleration of this in 48 hours or 72 hours was dramatic.
It's not only the shutdown of the borders, but it seems like in places like Italy, there's no known connection to some of the folks from China. I mean, you think about China as being ground zero. So is this really, whether it's mutation or something else, what's causing it to spread into other countries right now?
There has to be a connection. And one of the reasons why I say that is like this lady in Japan has no known symptoms. There's somebody over there walking around with it that they don't know who the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's pretty scary. Was there anybody who carried the measles that didn't get the measles? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I'm going to say that someplace somewhere over there, the person maybe never knew they had it, and now with test negative, somebody's there with it.
Mm-hmm.
How else could it get there? You know, carrier pigeon? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. But I think that's one of the concerns, that how is it transferring from places like China to Japan and now to Italy and to Iran and in other countries? What is the connection? Can they locate, oh yeah, there was this plane that came from Beijing into Tehran or into Rome. You know, what's the potential for somebody bringing it into
It stays live country? It stays live on a surface for, you know, a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could catch it there, not even know they had it, and never know they had it, and walk in and, you know, walk over to Ceres Cafe and infect a whole bunch of people and not even know they had it ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty scary. I mean, I was stunned when I read about this lady in Japan. Absolutely zero. No temperature, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No upset stomach, no cough, nothing. And she's infected her entire family. And the first test showed negative.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they need is to get a better test.
Yeah, I've also read that there have been a series of false negatives and false positives.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the false positive is not so bad. It's false negative you don't want.
It depends on whether you're the one who's tested.
Well, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I've heard people, you know, I don't know. I was told by somebody, call your doctor, get a thing for Tamiflu just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it gets here, it's not going to be enough around. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know how much Tamiflu's around. Probably quite a bit. Because a lot of people get the flu, right?
Right.
But I mean, it's at the stage of like yesterday. How do you know whether to buy or to sell?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you can see even weirder, Brennan, is you can tell by the strikes and the options. Everything kind of goes to, for instance, like the S&P. I'll get the right number here. Might as well be correct here. The S&P is 32.37, right? It's up 11.50. Okay, so the the spiders would be one-tenth of that, so it's 323, roughly, okay? So normally, you know, you look at the 326s, especially for, like, tomorrow's expiration, or not that we can't get there, but in a normal week, they're reasonably out of the money. 328s, you know, are pretty far away. You don't usually do 5 points in 2 days, right? But now, all of a sudden, all these options are all like 50 delta. Yeah, we could be here, we could be there, we could be anywhere. So it's even hard, the spread pricing and everything starts to get a little weird. And it's not like the, if you bought the thing at, 320 or 322, and now it's 323, the spiders, because it's up like $1.10 this morning, that you're gonna make, you know, 35 cents on that spread. You might not be gonna make 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be, by the time we're done with the show, it could be right back down. So, in other words, all the strikes almost are the same prices because we could be anywhere. So it gets a little weird on the trading part of it too. But, cause we have all protected puts for most of my people on everything. Plus we got gold for a lot of people. Gold was up yesterday, so we've done real well on that. Well, it's down 25 bucks today. Actually I sold something in there yesterday, so that's a good thing, I guess. But you end up with not being able to really do these spreads. Now your put might be $5 in the money, which normally you would say that's too far, let's roll it down. But now the spread you normally are getting, say you want to buy the 320s and sell the 325s. Well, normally you're going to get, you know, 3.25 for that spread. Now the price is $2 because, hey, I'm not buying anything because we could be right back there tomorrow morning. So your prices tend to get a little weird too. So it's somewhat difficult to trade in a day like this. It's really difficult if you just came in flat ass long and now you're just getting your butt kicked basically. There's nowhere to hide yesterday if you were just long. I mean, individual stocks, Apple probably be back up over 300 today, but some of these stocks I kicked around pretty good. There was not one stock in the Dow or one stock in the transportation average that was up yesterday. The one that was hanging in there real well was, Verizon. It might have finished the day only down a little bit because obviously Verizon's not affected that much. You wouldn't think. Merck was up for a little bit of the time because they must be working on something. But other than that, it's just one of those repricings for the day. I mean, everything in the world is worth 3% less than it was the day before because of this. Now you look at today, and now what's today going to bring? I mean, it's kind of where you're at because every day is a new day. And today looks like, you know, things are a little better. It looks like the amount of no new borders have closed since yesterday. So that's good news. And the Chinese situation. You know, the thing I'm concerned about, really, what in China seems to make this thing more deadly than anywhere else? Because there's a lot more people dying there now. But is it just the close proximity? Is it the pollution? Is it the amount of smoking? Are people more compromised to start with? I mean, the guy who originally sounded the alarm that died from, he's only 34. He looked pretty healthy to me. Now, this is assuming that the government didn't put a shot in his head because he talked out about it, that the government was slow. So they didn't like him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now the guy who ran the hospital, did they off him too? He's only 51. I mean, you don't know what's going on over there in that regard. But
yeah.
But no, it makes it somewhat different. The weird part is, Brent, it's all the same trade.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get some, I will use the term buffoon, on TV talking about, well, you got to be hedged here, you got to be hedged there. Well, simple fact is, it's all the same trade here. I mean, because there's fear, you're running for the bonds, you're selling a stock, you're buying gold, and maybe you're running for the dollar a little bit, right? So, it's not like you can all of a sudden say, well, I'll do this, and it, because it's all going to go the same way. I mean, if we rally back today, gold's going to go down, the bonds are going to go down, right? I mean, it's all part of the same picture here. But the question is, why is it driving people to even more negative interest rates over in Europe? I mean, that's just an ignorant trade. I'd rather stack up the dollars on the desk here and you and me go out and grab lunch or something. I mean, what is the point of that? That you're going to drive stuff more negative? Because that's just a bad trade. I don't know what you get from that. But, maybe we'll talk about that when we do the stuff around the world. But I got to believe that, we were down to. But anyway, let's go to break. Our S&P futures not only up 4, Dow futures up 43, NASDAQ futures up 27. So we're coming off the mat here, but we're struggling. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, don't face Dyson Jackson. I'm tonight Mr. Brennan Cornan. She's AV on the board. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like she is every Tuesday, raring to go. I come pick her up, and she's doing yoga on the sidewalk, already up and going, right, AV? Sort of.
Not anymore. On Tuesdays now I have school.
You have school, yeah. Well, it's a good thing.
It can be pretty cold out there some mornings on a Tuesday.
Yeah, S&P futures up 11. NASDAQ futures up 55. We're dead cat bouncing here, if that's a term. Dow futures up 95 again. Just, I don't usually do this, but just to refresh those who may not have seen yesterday's carnage. Down 1,031 on the Dow, down 111 in the S&Ps. I haven't seen that in a while. NASDAQ down 355, that's 3.7%. But we are bouncing somewhat today. DAX, however, down 71.5% because they didn't go down as much as we did. FTSE down 58.8%, CAC around down 40.7%. over in Asia. I think the Nikkei was closed yesterday, so they're down 781 this morning. It's 3.3%. Got the Shanghai down 18.6%. Hang Seng, which was open yesterday, was down a bunch. It was up 72.3%. We have bonds unchanged, actually, at 1.37, which is kind of surprising. The Bund minus 0.49, so that's as low as it's been in a while. Japan minus 0.1, so that's, again, as low as they've been in a while. So going back pretty far negative, both in Germany and Japan, which, again, I don't... It's just a horrible trade. Oil down 10 cents, 51.33. Brent down 10 cents, 56.17. So their sojourn back up in their high 52s is right back down again. Natural gas, 183. RBOB, 160. Gold, whack, whack, down 27, 16.48, however. Still kind of in the stratosphere. Silver down 54 cents, 18.33. Copper, 257. So no help from the people who look at copper because they're worried about China. It's not going anywhere. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. And the Hawks threw in the towel.
Good morning, friends. It's 6:36 in Chicago. Happy Tuesday, and it's official last week of winter. So anyone who's from Chicago...
Last week of winter. I don't know where you get that, but that's... You're
well, because March 1st is meteorological spring.
That's true. Although I think we got some winter left, just saying.
I think we do, too.
We'll see. Yeah. I have high hopes.
Oh, good. All right.
36 degrees currently in Chicago. Accumulating snow is expected later today through Wednesday afternoon. About 1 inch of snow expected during the day, and then it will accumulate up to 3 inches at night. The high of the day is 37 and the low is 31. In Phoenix, sunny day, clear skies, 51 degrees currently. The highest of the day will be 69, the lowest 46. No traffic accidents reported, no delays at this time, but looks like it's picking up, especially at the interchange on Eisenhower and 1994 due to the road constructions. And other than that, should be nice and fast.
Yes. So the Hawks throwing a towel, Brennan?
Obviously they did. Well, they were afraid of not getting anything from both Gustafson and Lerner when, at the end of the season, if they walk away as free agents. But I do think they threw in the towel, especially because, you know, Corey Crawford, while he's good, he's in an up-and-down season, and he certainly has had injury problems over the last couple of years.
He's no kid.
He's no kid.
Joel, so, how are you?
Good. Happy Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. I was mentioning to Brennan that back in the day, when we were young, one of the guys in the OEX pit that owned a bar used to close the whole bar down for the people on the trading floor. And let's say he invited every good-looking girl on the trading floor and the guys in the OEX pit, not the rest of the guys around the rest of the floor, and the people from the exchange. And it was a bar that held maybe 200 people, and there'd be 400 people there, easy. It was a good time had by all, you know, back in those days.
Have you ever had a punchy?
A punchki?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make them for 2 weeks, they make them at the Orland Park Bakery, and they fly off the shelves.
They make them everywhere around here. Go out to Archer Avenue, and you find them all over the place.
Well, you have to go to the Polish side of town.
Right.
Yeah. It's not exactly on my diet.
You know what? They're delicious, though. They're there to die for.
And I don't observe Lent, so there you go.
Well, there you go. Do you run and get ashes on Ash Wednesday just because they're free?
Hey, speaking of the floor, I had Ben Lichtenstein on my show last week. Do you remember Ben? He did Traders Audio. He used to quote the S&Ps. Do you remember that? Or was he too much of a SIBO Board of Trade guy?
Yeah, I remember the name. I don't know if I recognize him.
Oh, yeah. He used to squawk the S&Ps, you know, what was going on in the pit back when the pit meant something. And that has a warm spot in my heart because long ago when I was in Chicago back in the 80s, that was one of my first jobs on the floor at the Merck, was quoting the S&Ps for traders in New York that were when the knife index was still around. And then do you remember the missiles? The major market index?
Absolutely. I can tell you a story about the missiles.
Let's hear the story about the missiles.
I was still on the trading floor, so was Dr. J, and he had this account, that I don't know where, who funded it or whatever. And all of a sudden, there was sort of an anomaly with the first Gulf War. The missiles was the Amex Major Market Index. There were 20 stocks in there, and you know, 20 big stocks in the Amex. And I think they were the biggest stocks on the Amex. I don't know if there were any on the CB. Anyway, but the big guys were in there, and the anomaly was that the volatilities in the individual stocks were cheaper, weirdly enough, than they were in the index. So what I did, which is very unusual, you wouldn't expect that, Joel, right? So what I did is I put ratio backspreads on in all 20 stocks in the XMI and sold, yep, and sold straddles or strangles in the XMI. And all of a sudden the Gulf War is going on and stuff's moving all over the place and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out we made out like a bandit. I mean, we had a lot of money in this account. I mean, you know, not millions of dollars or anything, but you know, I bet we made on an account that had $500,000, you know, 150 maybe, 200. It was, you know, it was a real number over in like a 2 week period. But it was an anomaly I've never seen since. And since it was an index with only 20 stacks in there, I could actually do it. Right. So
correct.
Of course the thing works. And, but you know what I went back and looked at is that out of the 20 stacks, and this is whenever you have a sampling type of thing, or when you start talking about political polls or whatever, because it's all sort of the same subject. Or is that chief wandering off again? If I would have missed like two or three of the stacks in there,
you would have gotten killed.
I would have gotten killed. Because I'm going to say my biggest winner by far was American Express. And it was the hardest one to get on. It was kind of a tough pit. If I'd have said screw it and not done American Express, I think I made 150 grand in American Express. It was down like 40% or something. So if I'd have missed.
Yeah,
one or two. I made like all the money on the movement. I made in like five stacks. So if I would have not done three of those, I'd have gotten murdered.
We used to call them the missiles because they moved like a rocket.
All right, plus everybody had a nickname for anything. You never had a hard sound on the trading floor because it destroyed your throat. You never said three quarters; it was the orders. Right, and that's why no matter what the month of the spoos were, it was always the spoos, which is the September month. Because it was too hard to say something else. So you would
how
never,
do you spell that? How do you spell it?
What spoos?
Spoos.
SPU. I mean, it's the SPU is the September spoo.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And that's my Twitter handle.
Really?
And I've had that for years. And someone tried to tell me it was SPOOS.
No.
I'm like, what are you talking about? You know,
SPU.
It's the September symbol. So thank you for the confirmation on that, Chief. Do you want to talk?
There isn't an apostrophe in there, though. You forget the apostrophe?
No, there's no apostrophe, not on Twitter.
All right, okay. So what are we going to do here? Are we going to, we had our day, we had our revaluation. Now we just stuck here, we're down 3%, and that's what we're going to wait and see now?
Chief, I've never been more confident in giving you a technical level on the S&Ps than all the years that we've been working together.
Shoot, because David gave me his yesterday. We'll see if it's the same one.
I'm just going to give you an area, and it's 32.13. And the reason that is, we're 27 handles above that. You remember that washout that we
all right,
had
all right,
in
right,
January?
You got to back up. David said 32.12. Why are you guys right on the same spot?
Because we're brilliant.
Okay. Now, what's so significant about that spot?
1275. Well, for me, I don't know what his reasons are, but January 31st low, when I was loaded up on puts waiting for the world to come to the end, we bounced there and rallied 200 handles. You had your low on Monday at 1375, and then last night, I don't know if you watched that 6 p.m. open, but in 1 minute, they dropped the spoos 15 handles, and they bounced off 14 and a quarter. So right now, it's sitting triple bottom, boom. Yeah, there's a historical, it's a triple bottom if it holds today. But that's a rare formation in the S&Ps. I'd be anxious to hear why he chose that.
I bet the same reason, because he said yesterday morning, I said, where's the buy? You know, because yesterday morning we were 40 or 50 points away from that. He goes, I wouldn't be a buyer till 32.12. We were like 32.70. And I'm like, we're never going to get down there. Well, we did, like you say.
Yeah, I guess him and I aren't the only people that can read charts, because it went to 1375, and then it went to 14.25 today. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at as far as the S&Ps. Gold kind of had a little of that blow off top yesterday. We'll see if it can regain 1650. And crude, oh man, I mean, there's all those lows under 50. I don't know if they're going to give us a chance to buy it on under 50 again, though.
What I was kind of surprised yesterday, Joel, I don't know if you agree. Well, first of all, nobody agrees with me on this one, because the market, if I'd have traded this, I'd have got stuck with a sundown chain. But if you'd have said to me last year, China's going to be a problem, tariff-wise, disease-wise, you name it, I would have said, God, you don't want to be anywhere near Apple, Nike, Microsoft. And yet, those stocks were led the world last year. And now, yesterday, though, they were probably the biggest clunkers, United Health being another one, because it's the healthcare part. But
yep,
all of a sudden now, those things were clunked. But now we've got Apple coming back, $3 again today. Apple, somehow or another, is I don't know if it's all smoke and mirrors or because he knows the president or what. They've done remarkably well, considering the year China's had.
Correct. And a couple things about Apple, and then I got to hop. Apple warned in January of last year, the stock went from 157 to 142. It actually bottomed on that day and then rallied, I don't know, 50, 60%. So you got the China warning. They did it again last week on Monday. They hit the stock, and then they rallied it like 10, 12 bucks back. And I looked back, and the only thing that was different about the two warnings was the warning in January of 2019 came after a 40% decline, and that marked the bottom. This warning you're getting is coming after a 60% gain, so it makes me a little bit more cautious. Chief, if you could tell me, everyone's going to lower their Q2 numbers, right?
Yep.
Because of the virus, and then they're going to come in with lower numbers. So we'll see what happens.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Go Blue.
All right.
No Michigan basketball today, Chief. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, God. We'll do that next week.
Go Blue.
Kenny, how are you, bud? Kenny, you there?
I'm here.
Evidently, a 1,000-point move in the market means that Joel and I didn't get to talk Michigan basketball. There is a limit to the move where we can talk basketball. So.
Yeah, well, I guess it's Sox and Jocks, so you could go either way with this. But considering yesterday's move was what it was, I suspect, you know, that does kind of take precedence at the moment. Although, you know, look at it today; it's trying to make a quote unquote comeback rally with the Dow up 100 points after yesterday's 1,000-point loss. So I wouldn't get so excited about it.
So the guy in I just read here the latest coronavirus. I'm watching this like news by the minute on your fine station. The guy from the Terrence Health Ministry, the head of the health ministry,
yeah,
got it?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, I saw that. And do you see the other one on the show this morning? They had Dr. Gottlieb on, who talked about how the U.S. is actually fairly unprepared for the virus, right? That we don't have all the testing necessary and all that stuff for that. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, is he going to get tweeted by the president and sent off to a concentration camp because he said
well,
that in China?
Well, he might, considering the president yesterday tweeted out that, you know, it's all under control, everything is great. I think it's impossible for the president to say even such a thing like that, because it's really not under control. You can see it's spinning out of control around the world. And I don't mean to be, you know, setting up like this doomsday scenario, but the fact is, it's difficult to say you have it under control when it's really not under control.
Right.
You know, and quite honestly, I'm surprised that we haven't had cases yet in L.A. or New York or Chicago or Boston, certainly where a lot of those flights coming in from China, you know, go directly. And before it was even diagnosed, all those flights coming in from Asia into California, L.A. or San Francisco, I'm really shocked that, you know, that we don't have more cases yet. But I think, like Italy, if we all of a sudden start to get cases, then there's going to be another round of kind of not panic, but sell off as the market kind of adjusts to that. Then,
Kenny, I was reading feverishly through this on the weekend, trying to get every article I could, and you know, found actually a lot of good news in there. A lot of stuff that allayed fears and some stuff that didn't. Probably the most troubling one. Well, not all that troubling because they all survived, but the Japanese lady who was back from China. I don't know if she had the thing at the airport or whatever, the temperature and all that stuff. She infected her entire family. First she tested negative, first time through on the test, and they had to redo the test. Turns out she had it. Not one symptom. Not a cough, not a stomach ache, not a temperature, nothing. And so it's not surprising that somebody could have caught something on a plane is in northern Italy, and he might not might not even have it anymore.
There's no doubt about it.
Never knew they had it, you know.
No doubt about it, which is why I'm shocked yet that it hasn't appeared somewhere in the United States, considering all the flights and the commerce and the travel that goes back and forth between, you know, Asia and the U.S. Certainly out of flights out of California specifically, just because, you know, that's kind of the first stop, you know.
Well, the good news is, the other piece of good news is that if one of the guys from China was being quoted as saying, if you assume that the only people that are showing up to hospitals are the people that are having problems with it, people that might have had pneumonia beforehand, people that smoke too much, not saying that in our death rate is like 2%. He goes, the death rate probably is more like 1%, because most people are just staying home and dealing with it. He says 1% is virtually the same as a regular type A flu. He goes, so if it's down to 1%, I'm wondering, Kenny, I'm worried about a mutation. I was saying earlier, if this keeps going for a couple of months, they're going to say, hey, it's like the common cold. Deal with it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not. The only difference is that the common cold has, you know, a flu vaccine. It has, you know, medication you take to slow it down, stop it, to cure it. This doesn't, which is clearly the difference, right? So you can't necessarily just say, oh, it's like the common cold. Deal with it. The fact is that this doesn't respond to the same medications that the common cold responds to, which is what sets this apart.
Well,
now, suddenly, you know, they come up with a vaccine, and there was a headline this morning about some drug company saying that they think they have a vaccine. I didn't get the name of the drug company, though. I have to go back and look at it. But not that I think that's going to slow or stop, you know, kind of the mood at the moment. But that's kind of a separating issue when people talk about, well, you know, the flu kills more people. Yes, maybe the flu does kill more people, but, you know, we have vaccines for that.
Right, but I guess my concern is something that mutated that recently I don't trust.
Right, correct.
But, I mean, you're going to get to the point where if it's in every country, what's the point of shutting down borders? What's the point of testing people? It's just there.
Exactly. That's right. If it's there, it's there. You know, and we're going to see more of it. I think you're going to start to see more of it spread even around, certainly around Europe, right?
But I don't know how you're going to. I mean, if God, I can't imagine you and I walking in with measles at this age. But it's pretty easy to detect we have the measles if we've got a whole bunch of spots on our face. If you don't have a temperature, you have no symptoms, and oh, by the way, the test pops up negative because it's a bad test. I don't know how you shut that down.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know either. Did you see there was a CNBC piece yesterday? They were talking about those infrared temperature scanners.
Yeah.
That actually don't work as well as they suspect to work. You know, they had what's his name? I think it was Eric Shalemi that was had it against his forehead. It told me his temperature was 94.6, which was, you know, 4 points off what it should be. Right.
Yeah. What is the guy?
Interesting to see what happened.
He must have been.
This guy Gottlieb said this morning over here that we're honestly not really prepared for it to come here. You know, that's going to raise a little bit of nervousness.
Well, Kenny, it bothers the living life out of me that after 9/11, we spent all this money, right, for things that could happen. It could be a dirty bomb. It could be a bio weapon. It could be anything, and I don't see where the hell that money went. When I was a kid, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but the fallout shelters.
Oh yeah,
and I worked in the Chicago schools, and I was key personnel. I had keys for everything, right? Well, in the school, in the basement, there was a fallout shelter room. So of course, being the curious type that I am, I use my key, being key personnel, and then I go, Kenny, it says fallout shelter, 65 people. There's 65 cots. There's 65 blankets. There's 65 pillows. There's safe. You know, there's water for 2 weeks or 3 weeks for 65 people. Wafers, you know, healthcare stuff. You name it. And at least we spent the dough. Now, I don't understand how it is, 15 or how many years after 9/11, we spent all this money. We should have the capability of dropping a quarter million people on army bases or someplace that are away from everybody else, just like if it was a dirty bomb, just like it was a bio thing in downtown New York or Chicago. We should have the ability to deal with this at a spot that, that won't get in the rest of society. What else did they spend this money on? We don't seem to have any capability of dropping 100 people somewhere for a quarantine, much less a quarter million. I mean, where did this go? Dough go? Did it go to the Kenny Pulcheri's pizza? I know it didn't come to me.
No, it didn't come to me either.
I mean, what do we do with this? I mean, we are no more prepared than we were before 9/11. If all of a sudden you had to get a half million people out of Chicago, there's no coordination with trains, commuter trains, cars, buses,
yeah.
You name it, we can't do it, and there's no place for them to go. Even though we have 10 Army facilities in the state of Illinois that are closed and just sitting there. I mean, if we didn't spend the money, I don't have a problem, but I think we did. The question is, where did it go? Just, I'm on a rant here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Like
I don't know where any of that stuff went, but one way or the other, let's see what happens in the market. Say, look, futures have now, which were all over the place overnight, they were trending lower this morning around 6:30, have now rallied once again. So, showing a solid move higher, certainly not the 1,000-point gain that we lost yesterday, but, they're up 140 points on the Dow and up 16 on the S&P. European markets, which were down earlier, have now attempting to rally, are still negative, but only slightly negative now. So they've made a move to attempt to go positive. But, we'll see. This is far from over, I don't think. And so, I don't think everyone should just think yesterday's action was an aberration and now the market's gonna, rally again, jump on board because we're going to new highs right away. I don't think we're gonna. I think there was a lot of damage done yesterday, not only to individual names, but to the indexes as they broke technical levels, the 50 and 100 day moving averages. And so that needs a little bit of time to repair. I don't think it's going to be a straight V-shaped rally at all. Because I still think that this virus has room to go in terms of new cases, new countries, new concerns. Now, again, I'm trying not to paint this, doomsday bubonic plague type mentality, but I just think you need to be patient, right? Sometimes patience is a virtue, and it looks like everything's on sale, and it is. But, you could have a little bit more of a sale coming, so just be patient.
Kenny, are you hearing it all? I mean, because you hear from different dudes when you're on CNBC and so forth. Are you hearing it all? I mean, I was reporting 6 months ago some stuff I read that there already were some missed interest payments and so forth coming out of China in this dollar-denominated debt. Have you read at all about debt non-payment or interest non-payment in the last 68 years?
No, I haven't heard that, although now you bring that up, so I'm going to go search today. I haven't heard that there are missed payments on dollar-denominated debt at all, and I haven't actually seen that. I certainly haven't seen that on CNBC, I don't think, but nor the other stations. But, that's an interesting storyline. We should go check it out. I think the other thing that they're screaming about too yesterday, they were talking about, yields plunging and, negative rates are coming. Look, in times of panic, for sure, investors from around the world go into U.S. Treasury. So yields are going to be forced lower. I don't think that at all means yields are going negative at all. I think once it comes down, money will come back out of bonds, yields will go back up again. But look, we're still the only country paying positive, there's a positive return on treasuries and bonds. And so it's not a surprise that people are coming here, buying U.S. treasuries and searching for yield. But certainly don't think we're going negative. And I think as we get more clarity on the virus, bonds retreat a little bit, yields go back up and the market stabilizes.
Kenny, have you ever heard, I know we gotta let you go here, but have you ever heard any stats? I mean, God, you and I could talk forever. You ever heard any stats on the stuff in Europe when we're talking about a minus 0.5% rate, right? How much of that is a guy like me buying those bonds for your father? It can't be very many people are that stupid. It has to be almost all central bank. So how
it has to be. I don't know the stats. That's also another interesting question you posed. Because that's probably something that we should both know, but I would agree that it's not guys like you and me that are buying it and putting it in individual portfolios at all. I don't think so. Certainly, that's not the talk at Blackstone Wealth where I'm at, concerned.
Well, I don't want to take
them at all, but I would imagine it's much more institutional than central banks.
I don't want to take a shot at my or monetarily challenged president, but if it turns like it goes that way and the Fed is buying those things, doesn't he realize that instead of the Fed sending him an interest check, he's going to have to send the Fed a check?
He's sending the Fed a check. Yeah, that's what it implies.
But, absolutely. I mean, you know that and I know that. Do you think he does?
I'm not sure he knows that at all. No, I don't think he knows that. Did you see the tweet he put out yesterday at 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Talking about how in control the U.S. is of the coronavirus. Oh, by the way, the market looks good to me as if he's jawboning it higher, right? Using his position to tell everybody to calm down. Now he's giving out investment advice, which is, borders on comical.
Well, but he also has two Supreme Court justices. He wants to recuse himself in any matters according to him because they don't agree with him.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
I saw that headline too.
Kenny, it's it's an interesting world we live in, bud. We're just
it
trying.
Is. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. S&P Futures up 15. Now we're trying to make a game out of this. NASDAQ Futures up 73. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities, as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Brendan Cronin. She's AV on the board. S&P futures now up 1375. They've been kind of all over the place. They've been positive. And NASDAQ futures up 69, but they keep trying to like bounce back a bunch from yesterday. But so far, we're down 111 in the spoos yesterday, and they're up 13. So they got a ways to go. I think we come back a little bit, Brendan, but I think the 3% price adjustment was just that. And I think it's for real, for at least for a little while. I don't know that people are saying we deserve to be up 100 points from here, considering what's going on. But you were mentioning spring training, and I'll tell you a period piece. I'm sure you guys had your tickets in advance for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, the early 80s, we used to go down there every year, and you being the runner, I was never a marathon guy, but I liked to run for basketball and stuff. Holcomb Park was in the middle of like four or five soccer fields.
Mm-hmm.
It was down the block from Fitch Field, which is where all the minor leaguers worked.
That was the minor league field.
So I'd get up at the, a bunch of guys would go down there and they'd stay in a Winnebago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not into the Winnebago thing, but seven guys sleeping in there type of thing. So I would get one of the, motel room. Of course, one of the guys would pile out of there and say, I'm coming for the extra bed in the room. I'm getting out of the Winnebago too. So, I'd get up, I'd run over to the park, and there was nobody there at 9 o'clock, where the Cubs played.
Oh yeah, but you could go out there and you could see the minor leaguers starting to come out, and they were often really accommodating because they were mini celebrities of the folks who were out there. They'd sign autographed balls, they'd just toss a ball to you, and you could walk away with a bag full of baseballs, major league baseballs.
Yeah, well, I'd go running on the soccer fields. There was never anybody there. Nobody bothered me. This is the parking lot of the Holcomb Field.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd head over to Fitch Field. I'd sit down and I'd watch the minor leaguers for a couple hours. And like you say, but I mean, it's really a choreography of all the different people, the guys. If you've ever seen a baseball field in full workout potential, it's pretty amazing because they've got the pitcher pitching behind a screen to batters in a cage, right?
Yep.
And then the first baseman's got a screen in front of him,
mm-hmm.
and the third baseman's got a screen in front of him. So you can't sort of hit at those guys. But then there's a guy on the left circle, and he's hitting to the infield, I believe. And then the guy in the right circle is hitting to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then the batter's hitting too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the shortstop and second baseman, they're supposed to be watching the batter, but the third baseman and the first baseman are behind the screen. They're just taking care of the infield stuff. So there's probably 30 people on the field all doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guys are doing the batting practice and all the stuff's going on. But it's interesting. You see some guy in a batter's cage and he's whacking the ball out there and all these guys are, 15 feet in front of the warning track. And there, the guys hitting fly ball after fly ball and they're all catching them. All of a sudden the next guy walks up and everybody turns around and walks back like 10 feet. Then all of a sudden you see hear a different tone when the guy hits the ball, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden the crack gets a lot harder, a lot louder. And then you'll see guys, if you ever go to a major league game or even a college game or something, it's amazing that people are always out by like a step or two at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard it is really to make like a play from shortstop and get that ball over to first base in time to beat the guy. Well, they'll have a bunch of shortstops out there and they're hitting the ball. And all these guys start doing is yelling, is do not bring that ball into your body. If you do, mm-hmm. the man is safe. And it's funny what the instincts are on that. It's my younger brother Dan was still playing softball at his advanced age. He plays in all these tournaments around the country. President of PTI Security, so he's not only a good security guy, he's still a good softball player. He had that instinct from the time he was like five. The first time I hit him a ground ball, he reached down, picked it up, and threw the ball without bringing it into him. So which means your release is so much faster. And since I played first base all those years, I was so happy to get the ball before the runner was on top of me.
Yep.
And as in softball, you don't have the mitt. You can't reach out that far. You got to get two hands on it. So you really want it there before the runner's climbing all over you. And
especially when in the softball leagues, they were still using metal spikes.
Oh, God, yeah. And then it was only 55-feet bases. And you didn't have, now they have the orange bag.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, they keep yelling at these guys. You're not getting the ball fast enough. You're not getting the ball fast. And all of a sudden, you'll see another guy goes out there, and he'll reach for the ball, and it'll go. The guy who was amazing to watch, I mean, I didn't see him down there, but even in, I still never saw a guy that could turn a double play like Paul Popovich. Mm-hmm. Bill Mazeroski, maybe. Where if you watch those guys, they catch it 2 feet out in front of them.
They're throwing before they catch it.
They're throwing before they catch it, and they never bring the ball in. It's just a blur.
Yep.
And if you bring it in and wind up and throw, you're...
It's amazing. You're absolutely right. I mean, the speed of the guys going down the base and how, and you think it's only a fraction of a small fraction of a second, but it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and you know, those guys are always out by step. It's like, you know who your runner is.
Mm-hmm.
But then these guys would pull a Winnebago in and pull right up to the right field wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we never bought a ticket. We just stayed on top of the Winnebago.
Yeah.
And of course, then we went back like 3 years later. I drive out there to run. There's people parking at 9 in the morning going into the game. I'm like, it's 4 hours from game time in this sun. Are these people out of their friggin' mind? I mean, it's like, one thing you don't want to do is spend any more time in the sun out there than you have to. And then I'd go back to the hotel, shower up, have breakfast, go out to the game.
Mm-hmm.
God, Brendan, life wasn't any better. I had my workout. I had my baseball fix.
Well, I lived out there at that time. I moved out there in 86. I was out there for 8 years. And occasionally I'd be able to do that, just go over to spring training. You know, I couldn't do it every day because I wasn't on vacation. I was working out there. But there were times when I would just take a couple of days off and head out to spring training fields. And it was really a good, relaxing time. And you're right. You could go to Fitch Field or Fitch Park. And sometimes you see guys who were major league players coming back from an injury, working out with the minor leaguers. But for the most part, and you know, they had the clubhouse in the middle, and then they had the 4 or 6 fields kind of spread out around them,
right,
like a hub and spoke type of a thing. And you'd try to get to the right spot near the clubhouse so you could see them going out to what you thought was going to be the right field for the big field for the day. But it really was an interesting time. And you're right that you could walk up right before game time and get a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And sit even in the stands, not in the outfield grass, but just in the stands. And now you can't do that. I mean, now most of the Cubs games, for example, are sold out. And
well, I was
going to
recommend
within a week.
I was going to recommend go see them on the road.
Oh, yeah, that's what you have to do. You pretty much have to see the Cubs playing someplace else if you want to watch the Cubs.
I got a good one for you. Dr. J and I go out to a game. Of course, he's not baseball nuts like I am. We go see the Giants in Scottsdale. The Cubs are playing there, and it's pretty mopped, right? So the guy goes, "All right, you guys are gonna have to sit on the grass." There's like 15 of us. So guess where they put us?
Where?
We're on the, the Cubs had the bullpen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting on the grass in the bullpen on the field. We were on the field. Can you imagine that today?
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this guy gets up and goes, "Hey, could you two guys move over a little bit? They want me to warm up." Okay. So we move over like 2 feet. The guy's winging the ball like right over our head. I can't imagine that happening today. It's it was just kind of a different time. But you'd go to, I think we went to Diablo Stadium and saw the Cubs one night, and it was 3.25 for second row seats or something. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
There was nobody there.
Yeah.
I mean, the only ones that had anybody there were the Cubs because they were on
national TV.
But talk about one of the most interesting instances of leadership I've ever seen, Brendan. And, you know, people, I mean, Kevin always talks when he comes on because he teaches classes in it. And obviously, I mean, you're very much into it. And, you know, what makes somebody effective? And this was 84, 83? Where the Cubs, Dallas Green was a general manager, and the Cubs had Ryan Sandberg. They had these guys. They had a pretty good team, but they were kind of missing something. And all of a sudden, he made this trade to get rid of, was it Ivan DeJesus and somebody else, and he got Larry Boa, and he got Sarge Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarge was the left fielder, good hitter, clutch hitter, known as a leader. And all of a sudden, these guys, we'd heard about the trade the night before, and all of a sudden this, you know, kind of a limo pulls up, or a bus, or whatever, a minivan, and these two guys with Bo and Sarge and somebody else get out, and they go in. We see them go in the clubhouse. They walk out with the uniforms on, and there's all these people working out. It's before the game. And then Sarge walks out in the middle of the field, and he stops the entire workout. He goes, everybody come on in. He introduced himself to everybody on the team and basically said, now we got a ball club. And that was the year that they ended up...
They broke into the playoffs for the first time.
And they ended up having to give up... Not many people remember this. They had to give up a home game because they didn't have lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they lost 3-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking they might have won if they were at home because they murdered him here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he walked out and he said, no, stop the hit and stop this. Now we got a ball club. Let's play. And all of a sudden, they were kind of wishy-washy that spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I was there the next 4 days. All the starters went about 6 innings. They murdered everybody. And I went home. My mother says, I hear they're doing lousy out there. And I go, not lousy now. Last week, they looked pretty good. And they never looked back, really, mm-hmm. until the ball went through Leon Durham's leg. But it was so funny. We were on the Winnebago, and there's this guy playing right field, this young guy. This young African-American dude. So I'm giving him no end of grief. Not bad grief, but I was just... They're pitching to Leon Durham, and they got this guy who was a pull hitter, and this guy's all the way over in right center. So I go, hey, buddy, anyway, you know this guy's a pull hitter. What are you doing over in right center? The guy turns around and he goes, you know, I'm not sure either. He yells over to the center fielder, hey, Dougie, am I supposed to be paying here? This guy's a pull hitter. The guy goes, I don't know. That's what they told us to play. I said, not only that, you're feeding him changeups. What are you? Is your coach an idiot? He yells over to center, why are we pitching this guy inside if they got me playing over here? Sure enough, Durham launches one. It goes right over to foul pole, almost hits us on the Winnebago. he yells over to the center fielder, why are we pitching this guy inside when they got me this far off the line? He was asking the same question I was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it was different era, right?
Oh, it was. But you know, that's part of the subtlety of baseball. I really like that story because as an outfielder, especially as a center fielder and as a shortstop, you watch where the catcher is setting up and you watch the signals that he's been given. And you learn.
But you got to be careful not to flinch because mm-hmm. you're going to let the batter know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. But, you got to watch where understand what pitch is coming. Like if a guy's a pull hitter, you want to pitch him away and you want to pitch him fastball so that he's a little bit late on the swing and won't pull the ball down the line, which is a strength.
Well, yeah, you want the two-hopper to short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you'll get if the guy tries to pull one on the outside part of the
mm-hmm.
plate.
Yeah.
You know, or the 12-hopper as I've mm-hmm. gotten older, you know. But,
yes.
I mean, isn't it? We're still up 15 here. We'll keep you up going on with the market. What is your assessment of this Astros situation? They had people show up at the spring training games with signs, and they tore all the signs out of people's hands.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's going to be an ugly year for the Astros, especially when they go on the road. I think that if baseball is trying to be serious about enforcing the rules and making cheating a really big deal, electronic cheating. And I'll get to the distinction about that in a minute. But the electronic cheating, why wouldn't you remove their name from the championship in 2017?
I'm kind of curious about one thing. If you wanted to, let's put it this way. Unless you have the right feed, if you go to Skybox across the street, and you watch TV, you're 4 seconds late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you get it off the, the Hancock building, you're on time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's instantaneous. You know, it's maybe, millisecond behind, but why can't people in the dugout, it's a center field camera, everybody watches the sign. If you wanted to steal the sign, if you see the number one come down on the TV, why don't you bang the thing? What do you need your own stuff in the outfield for?
Well, because it's not that simple. It's not just putting down one finger or two fingers. There's a series of signs
with an
indicator now. So, I mean, it takes some time. You're not just going to be able to do that.
But I'm saying most of the time, if you watch a catcher and there's nobody on base, they give you the one, the two, or the three, and mm-hmm. then they point inside and that's the pitch.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, what do you need your own camera for when you've got one other guy?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would think that you would want to have control over who's watching the camera and sending it into you, into the dugout.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're listening to it off cable, you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's talk about a piece of trivia. Remember when they first came out with those stupid radios that had delay factor on them?
Yeah.
Well, I bought one, right? And it gave you an 8-second delay. Now it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You need like 12. What I'm talking about is if you're at home and you're watching now, if you're picking the Bear game up off regular antenna, which, you know, virtually nobody does. Well, I won't say that because a lot of people have dropped off the system. Maybe more people do now. And you turn the radio on, they're pretty much synchronized, right?
Yeah.
But if you're watching it on cable, you're way behind on the TV. So you can't listen to Tom Thayer do the Bear game while you're watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
And make any sense out of it because time's a play ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But so they give you this radio, and you could dial back. There would be a delay on it. And then you could hook it into your stereo system if you wanted to, which I never did, of course. But my stereo system's older than me. But the now I think you need almost 10 seconds. 8's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can still get these things, but not that many people care. But I would much rather listen to Tom Thayer than I would the morons on TV. But,
well, you know, let's go back for a minute, though, to the Astros and potentially the Red Sox the year after with Cora there. It's really an interesting phenomenon as how the Astros are being treated. Like many of them are being treated like pariahs. And Fears is being hailed as a hero in many specs, but he's also getting a lot of grief for being the one who outed the whole program.
Who is the
Mike Fears, the pitcher?
Okay.
He's now in the Oakland Athletics, and he was the first guy who said, oh, yeah, when we were in Houston in 2017, he pitched for the Astros in 2017. And he was the first guy who said, yeah, we had this elaborate system, and they knew, the hitters knew what was coming. And so many of the players are turning on him. Like Big Poppy in Boston said, the guy's a snitch, he doesn't deserve anything. In fact, he deserves a lot of scorn. Now, it's first of all inconceivable to me to think that you've got a minimum of 25 ball players. And I mean, there's more than that because you get guys going up and down, get hurt, get traded during the course of the year. Plus, you've got the expanded roster then in the year.
Right.
So you've got potentially 50 to 60 guys who know about this, who are the players, not to mention the coaches and the staff above them. How is that going to stay a secret for more than even that year? I mean, you trade a guy, especially if a guy is let go by the team, he's cut by the team later on in the year, he's going to be upset with the team, with the Astros for getting rid of him. You don't think he's going to tell the world or tell somebody what happened? I mean, it's just inconceivable to me that they thought that scheme would work for a while. But also, you know, the idea that guys like Fires are being told that they're not good human beings because they told about this system. It just really boggles my mind.
Well, it's I don't see how, like you say, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Betty and I were going, I'm like, let me get this straight. I get traded to L.A., and I'm sitting there, and I'm having a beer with one of the guys in my new team. I go, man, when I played you guys last year, it sure seemed like you knew what pitch I was throwing.
I did.
Well, we did, you big dummy. I mean, when I say this, how do you keep something like that a secret? As usual, my mind constantly wanders to another direction, even though we're talking about this. How, the thing that killed SMU and the college football scandal, mm-hmm. where they got the total takeout for a year or two, didn't they?
They had the death penalty.
Yeah. Was the people on the team were bitching that other people on the team were making more than they shouldn't have.
Right.
Now, I think most people suspect, whether you know or not, I'm not going to, that, you know, some schools are helping people out. Okay? How do you suppose, other than, you know, being part of the mafia, how do you suppose this is being kept secret at some of these schools? Are we talking about physical threats? What are we talking about? Why hasn't there been another SMU? Why hasn't somebody said, well, gee, my kid got paid X to go to Alabama, that's why I went there? I mean,
you do see those. I mean, you do see those come up in the college ranks where who was it? Was it Charles Davis who had to give his Heisman back because of payments when he was at Southern Cal?
That was a long, long time ago.
Right, but I mean,
yeah,
there are examples where...
Anthony Davis, wasn't it?
Was it Anthony Davis?
Oh, yeah, the guy, he was good.
I think it was Charles Davis.
Isn't Anthony Davis
the guy who plays basketball now?
It was a Davis.
Yeah.
Where's Kevin when we need him? He'll tweet it.
But you do see those things. I don't understand why, when you're talking about big programs, why there isn't more. Well, there was Tattoo Gate a couple of years ago
yeah.
at Ohio State. And, you know, there's college sports have been replete with the mothers and grandmothers of big athletes driving around brand new SUVs and trucks and things because of a friendly loan from somebody in the neighborhood.
Well, but it's not. I mean, it's not as it's not as direct as you would expect. I mean, this baseball thing got out awful. I mean, but you know, did you listen to last Thursday's show with Lou? Lou was talking about the Spygate thing with the New England Patriots.
Oh yeah,
where they actually went in and destroyed all the physical evidence
because
they didn't want everybody suing. This is football.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sued him, all the evidence was. And his point is, you know, his legal opinion was, before there's a case, you can destroy whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. Once there are subpoenas or once there are notices for discovery, then it becomes obstruction of justice if you destroy it. Although, interestingly, do you remember the Arthur Anderson and Enron scandal?
Yeah.
That was at a time when Arthur Anderson was still around and the general counsel told them to...
Kevin just tweeted me, Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush? Okay. But in the Enron scandal and Arthur Anderson, the general counsel said, we're changing the routine. Any records that are more than X years old should be destroyed because there's no real reason to keep them. And that was, it was very touchy as to when that directive was given. It was also true that a lot of corporations and a lot of legal analysis were being done like that, that just in the interest of keeping records, that at a certain point you could legally get rid of some of those records. And she got blasted for that. In fact, she was let go and really put in a bad spot for a long period of time.
Well, that's where I don't get. I don't get a lot of things, but if football and baseball. Let's put it this way. They're given baseball by an act of Congress, football because they keep taking it. They have an antitrust exemption.
Immunity, yep.
Now, for lack of a better term, so did the CBOE. This is before you had a million exchanges and the world got kind of squirrely. But they were given that exemption with a bunch of responsibility. They were said, okay, now you're a self-regulatory organization. By the way, you have to you have to keep tabs on your members. You got to do some stuff for member firms. You got to do some stuff outside. You got to do option audits of firms of people. I mean, there was a responsibility that went with it. So the CBOE, you couldn't just go in there and if they were investigating me as a market maker, which they never did, thank God, because they never had to. I was honest. But they couldn't have come into my place and said, boy, this chief guy is a crook. But since he's a member, we'll fine him $50 and we'll destroy all the evidence because we don't ever want the SEC to review it or if somebody outside would sue him, we don't want any of that stuff being here. We'll be part of the destruction process. You can never do that because they picked up, I'm going to say, some of the same sort of things that we had. You couldn't get rid of anything for 7 years, 3 years in a close place. I mean, I remember the stuff in my test. I mean, they started to drop into the same sort of law that we were, or regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't just say, oh my God, this guy's guilty. We don't want this getting out. Here's a dumpster. Why don't we use it? you didn't get to do that. So, and Arthur Anderson kind of is in that same mold. Even though they weren't a self-regulatory place, the audit firms were given, I'll say, some sort of a, I don't know what they were given, but some sort of a panache to where you couldn't just go in there and find out that somebody was a crook and wreck the stuff because the guy was paying you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, but the weird part of Arthur Anderson is I think they could duplicate everything that they say was destroyed. I was under the impression that they had backups for all that stuff, but even though they destroyed it, they, meaning that office, I think they could have, in my opinion, what I recall, and the whole thing with them the accounting firms, and I'll say this blatantly, were so stupid. They never wanted a regulator. And actually, Brendan, the best thing for you is a regulator because they insulate you from the law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And they were too dumb to know that. I mean, you're much better off getting a fine from the SEC that having a thing in court is a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you walked into a pit years ago, and you know some firms, I'm not going to say did this, won't admit or deny, if you walk in and you say, what's the market? The crowd goes, a quarter, three-eighths. Well, we're going to pay a half for this spread. We're going to do it 1,000 times. By the way, we want 500, and you guys can split up the other 500. That might be a fine in the regulatory spot. That's a felony anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you just stole $1,250 times $1,000 from that client. Times
$1,000. But isn't that the free market at work?
No. Not in my mind. Not in my mind. It never was. As you can see why I wasn't such a popular board member.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't get to do that. But yet, what happened was, once you had competition between exchanges, letting the member firms do whatever they wanted was part of the competitive landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good, in my opinion. I'm saying, how does football get to do that? You know, destroy that evidence. And Lou says it worked. There was no lawsuits, nothing. Because nobody has anything.
If you do it soon enough, then, like Lou pointed out, if you do it before the examination comes about or before the allegations are made, before there's any inquiry to produce the evidence.
That's not what I'm talking about. I understand that the Patriots could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why the NFL was allowed to do it, I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about when we come back. SP Futures up 1150, NASDAQ Futures up 56. We're making an attempt here. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hanel. Mr. Brennan Cornett, she's AV on the board. She's AV everywhere, but she happens to be on the board right now. The futures up 1250. NASDAQ futures up 5950. But her education is breaking into her yoga. You notice there's no yoga mat today because she has school all day.
Yeah, I had to break my routine.
Yes, this is very bad. Dow futures up 114.
You should bring a yoga mat in for the chief. I could see chief starting to get into, what is it, downward facing dog? Is that one of the?
I need about a year's worth of yoga before I can make the dunce in the worst class.
And get you into the lotus position?
That's not even. DAX down 47.4%. These guys were up a little while ago. DAX down 47.6%. FTSE down 55.7%. CAC round down 22.4%. This rally isn't exactly flying here. Nikkei down 781. Now they're catching up. They were closed yesterday, so don't go too crazy with that. That's 3.3%. Shanghai down 18.6%. Hang Seng, which was down heavy yesterday, is actually up 72.3%. Bonds, 1.36 here, minus 0.5 over in the Bund, and minus 0.10 in the Japan. It made it back to zero for a couple of days, and then, whack-a-mole? Back right back down. Oil. Up 13 cents, 51.56. Brent up 10 cents, 56.40. Natural gas, 184, back into the 180s. RBOB, 161. I got 246 in the end on Sunday for the Suburban, Brendan. The gold now only down 23 bucks. It was down more than that. 16.53. Silver down 48 cents. It was in the 50s. So it's still hanging in there, the 16.53 number. Copper, 257. So no help there for the people that are hoping for the China to turn themselves around. I don't think they're turning themselves around at all. Well, they are trying to get people back to work, Brendan, sick or not. Mm-hmm. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning. 37 minutes past the hour. 36 degrees currently in Chicago. Windy day with periods of snow. We're expecting some snow showers throughout the day and at night. And it will continue through Wednesday afternoon. Snow accumulation up to 3 inches. And in Phoenix, it is 51 degrees. Right now, sunny day, clear skies, nice and smooth. No rain expected. The highest of the day will be 69, the lowest 46. In traffic, no accidents reported, no delays at this time. But obviously, the traffic had picked up, especially on Eisenhower East, Stevenson northbound, 94 East from West Wilson to West Fullerton. And if you're heading north through 94 West, expect some traffic delays from South LaSalle up to West Randolph, as well as long-term reconstruction project blocking the exit to eastbound Ida Wells, so it's causing some significant delays. And that's what I got, Chip.
What's the story with the Hawks? Now, shouldn't you get like 20% back on your tickets now the end of the year since they've thrown in the towel?
Well, you know, this is not quite the same thing as the White Sox white flag trade back in the 90s. But you wonder about that. What do they tell their fans that they're really giving up on the season?
Well, I mean, there's no way they're going to make a huge run at the playoffs without that goalie.
True.
But they've lost what? How many, you know, out of the last 10, they've lost about 7 or 8, right?
Right. Yeah, they're not on a good streak right now.
But I mean, they're not going anywhere without that guy.
No, he was pretty good, except in overtime games. When they went in overtime, he did not have a good record. But for the most part, he was at least as good, if not better, than Corey Crawford, who's now going to be their number one goalie. And, you know, Crawford's had a tremendous career here. He's won two of the Stanley Cups with the Hawks. The last couple of years, he's had a lot of concussion injuries. He missed most of last year after having concussions. And, you know, he's getting a little bit older, so he's not the same guy he was a couple of years ago.
Neither are we.
Well, of course not.
Yes. All right, I have a question for you. Lou, I berated him with this one day. How is it that hockey can get away with having somebody play without paying them for the day? Did you hear the story about the goalie?
The goalie?
Yeah.
The emergency goalie?
Yeah.
I don't know the reason how they can get away with not having them, but you know, you think about a lot of amateurs who play in leagues, and they would jump at the chance. In fact, well, the guy who won the game the other night, and I think this happened with the Hawks a couple of years ago too. The guy came in and played goalie for the Hawks. They do get paid; they get $500.
Yeah, but if you play a National Football League game or suit up on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
or if you are one day in spring training, you have to sign. That's why they won't let people do it anymore. Because Bill Murray and a few other guys sign a one-day agreement.
One-day contract, yeah.
In the minor leagues. Or somehow or another, if you're Roy Hobbs and they need you one day, the Cubs have to put you on a 40-man roster. They have to give you, 1/62nd of the minimum salary. They got to put you on insurance. They got to do all that stuff. I mean, for you to be there. I mean, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's not like, I mean, obviously, at PTI, if somebody came in and, you know, the guy did the put in a new phone system for the day. We could pay the guy in 1099 him and say we gave Joe, $1,500 for putting in a new phone system. But if you're going to become an employee of PTI and get on the payroll, I mean, I guess this guy does, but every other sport, you need to do that. Now, if this guy gets hurt, they got to at least cover that.
Well, you think that they would, but I don't know what their legal obligations are to do that.
But the minimum, what the minimum salary in hockey, I don't know what it is, but say it's got to be, what, $300,000, $400,000? Divided by 80 is $4,000 a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have a guy, when you have a contract like that, you give him $500 and the jersey? I mean, I'm not saying there's a lot of people that would love to do that for 20 minutes. I mean, right? I mean, I guess if, well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't look so hot in the uniform these days, but if you'd have given me a chance to go stand out in left field for an inning with the Cubs and hope the ball didn't hit the ball to me, I'd have done that in a second, right? But,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that's the way you get to do things.
Well, you're right. I just pulled this up. Minimum salary in the NHL is $700,000 in 2019 to 2020.
All right, so that's $8,000 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to give this guy $500. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, those are the rules that the league has agreed to. And he's an emergency guy. And this guy could have played for either team. He was able to suit up for either team. I think when the guy who did it for the Hawks was a Hawks guy. That at that time, both teams might have had their own goalie as an emergency. But, you know, he just gets to watch the game. And I do agree with you that, you know, there would be a lot of people who would pay the $500 instead of getting paid the $500 to get into a game like that. And of course, this guy's going to get some notoriety because he won the game. He stopped 8 out of 10 shots.
Don't you find it hard to believe that on all the other guys on the team, that not one of those guys ever played goalie ever in hockey?
No. I don't find that hard to believe at all. I think it's very similar in baseball. Not quite the same thing for catchers. You don't find a lot of people who want to play catcher who have played catcher. But I think goalie is a unique position in sports. I guess the closest analogy would be somebody like who's a place kicker. You don't see like the days of Luke Garza, who would be a linebacker or a lineman and then be the kicker. They're specialists now, and goalies are specialists. And they start playing goalie when they're...
Well, you could be a place kicker, you just wouldn't be very good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't happen anymore. But goalies are really trained to be goalies.
Walter Payton had a punt a few times.
Walter Payton is a very, very... he's an outlier in
the... I'm saying if your punter goes down, somebody's going to punt.
Yeah, somebody will punt. But I don't know that there are many people in the NHL who have played goalie who have the experience. I'm sure you would find somebody on any NHL team would say, I'm willing to do it. You know, both of our goalies got hurt. I'm willing to put the gear on and go in there. Don't know how good I'll be, but I think you'll find, certain like in baseball, if you're the 24th or 25th guy on the team and you get a chance to get in for anything, you're going to take it. I know guys who, when they were going up through high school and college and beyond, if they knew the only way for them to get on the team and to get into a game was to be a catcher, they would put the gear on to be in that position.
I just find it incredible to me. And again, I'm not debating anything you're saying. Well, I guess I am. I can't believe that at the beginning of the year, all right, when you've got all these people and you're doing all these, practice this and that, that you don't say to your other 20 guys, hey, look, if both of these guys get run over by the Zamboni, can somebody at least put the pads on and stand back there? I mean, we're talking about elite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not talking about is he better than, say, a college goalie, which mm-hmm. he probably wouldn't be if it's, but I got to believe that Jonathan Toews with the goalie stuff on is going to be a better goalie than, like, me. the Zamboni driver.
Yeah.
I mean, how could he not be? Mm-hmm. He's faster, younger. I mean, this guy's 42 years old, an extra kidney, for God's mm-hmm. sake. I'm just saying. I mean, one of those defensemen, you can't tell me that Duncan Keith can't make a better stab at being a goalie for 10 minutes than me.
Right, but what do you do to the rest of the team? Anyway.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, I do know what you're saying.
If you're playing left field for the Cubs, you need an emergency catcher. I got to believe you can go back there. Most of these guys will warm up pitchers. They'll do mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
They've been playing baseball their whole life. You got to have a better chance of sitting back there. You don't want it on the legs and it's bugging your mirror, everything. But you got to be a better chance at it than some guy you pulled out of the stands is 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You would think. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah. No, I understand your point. But we have a couple of experience.
Like, yeah.
Well, even in the NFL, you've got a designated emergency quarterback because you've got the two guys who suit up. You've got the potential for a third quarterback.
Actually, they don't do that anymore.
But there are designated quarterbacks.
No, they don't do that anymore because they added one more guy to the roster.
No. What I meant is that somebody like a wide receiver or a running back is what they call the emergency quarterback. And that even though this guy might not have played quarterback since high school,
he's better than a lineman.
He's better than putting something like Cody Whitehair behind behind center.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's plus all these guys, they throw the ball around and pray. A guy who's got an arm at least.
Mm-hmm.
It is just kind of weird. I mean, how they go about it. I mean, it's kind of fun. When I was first watching hockey, I really loved it when I was a kid. Bobby Hull and those guys were playing. The teams only threw up one goalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this happened, and they didn't wear helmets.
Right.
It happened several times a year.
Well, remember back in the 50s, the goalies didn't even wear face masks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They didn't wear any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was no backup. Glenn Hall, he was the only guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to say 70, 72, you had to suit up two goalies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you got like, there was a Hawk game, way back when. This guy, they were interviewing him to be a goalie, whether they were going to sign him. He was from some college. And they, hey, get out and get dressed up. Our guy got hurt. He came to, but at least he was a hockey goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a strange world because, they got that guy suited up, I think he did a pretty nice job. But those guys, no masks, and, there was only one guy suited up. And you had like an hour to get a guy.
Yeah.
it's a bizarre world. All right.
Yeah.
We're up 14:50. We're not moving. We aren't talking about the market here too much. Just from what you see worldwide, let's say everything has a value, Brendan, and all of a sudden you see things sort of degrading in the last few weeks, is we basically made a 3% adjustment yesterday off, pretty close to all-time highs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down some, and we're almost even on the year. The spider and the Dow, we went down a little bit. Where we are right now, we're probably up a little bit. Is that enough right now? I mean, I'm starting to see the leadership in some places not so hot. Our guy here is going crazy, tweeting at people about everything on earth. I just hope something bad doesn't happen here because I don't see any leadership there at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, that's an assessment. It's not a political statement. Now, of course, the right's going to be all over me saying, he'll be better than Elizabeth, maybe, but that's not the point. He's there, they're not,
Mm-hmm, right.
Then we got this debate tonight. If I ever ran, I'm too old and too smart to run, but if I ever ran.
Well, you may be too smart, but you're not too old.
Well, that's true. you couldn't get me on a stage with nine other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you can't not be there, I suppose, but how could you? I mean, and you have to have some things you're going to say, and you got to say them.
Yeah.
And these guys, you can't let people drive you off your perch. I mean, I mean, when you have, you know, two people like Bernie and Elizabeth Warren screeching at the top of their voice at some guy because he had the nerve to send the police to where the crime was. I mean, where are you supposed to send him? New Jersey?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting there listening to this. Let me get this straight. We get bombed by some country someplace, and we're going to have to send our army two places because we're going to insult the people who bombed us? I mean, where is the logic to this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
the political correctness, it's very difficult.
I mean, I think, when you have what's happening in Chicago with the violence, now we're seeing it in every neighborhood every night, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Lady got shot in Ravenswood yesterday. The guy bangs on the door, tries to open the door. She goes to shut the door on the guy because he's a burglar coming in a ski mask, and he shoots her and kills her and runs off.
Mm.
It's a regular house. I mean, somehow or another, these people that are 15 and 13 that shoot randomly, they're not good people, Brennan. They might not have the best life, and I feel sorry for them, but I don't care. The people getting shot have a right, too.
Yeah.
Not just the shooter, the shootee gets a right.
It's interesting to me that even in a place like Chicago, the with high crime areas in certain parts of the city, a lot of the neighborhood religious leaders and community leaders are saying, we need more police in our area.
But don't ever arrest anybody.
Well, but my point is that they want more police in the area. And they want crime to go down because of police presence and because of arrests. Now, Bloomberg said things very inarticulately effectively said, here's where the crime is. We're going to flood the zone with police officers to stop crime.
And I'm not so sure where you're supposed to send them.
Right. Right.
Well, I mean, I actually, as you well know, I mean, I'm a liberal at heart, although I don't know what's wrong with the Democratic Party, in a sense that if people need help, if there's any way to get them help for a while, I'm willing to do it. For a while. But then you gotta help me. You gotta do your part too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's just, otherwise it won't work, Brendan. Mm-hmm. But this idea that somehow or another, I mean, right now, the idea that, you know, three, four sometimes days a week, we're talking on the show about police action because some shooting on the expressway. Brandon, people drive the expressway have to be able to think they can get from downtown to wherever they're going
right.
without getting shot. That's more important than the rights of the people that are stupid enough to shoot people outside of a car. I don't really, you know, if you give me the Rat Patrol Jeep with the 50 caliber on it, and all of a sudden I see some people shooting out of some car, if you level that car and everybody in it, you know what, as you know, for me to say something like that is very, but you can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
The people they're shooting at are more important than the people doing the shooting. I'm just saying. I mean, am I wrong or not? I mean, I'm a Catholic.
No,
I get it.
I agree with that.
But if I ever said that, I wouldn't get a vote.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Those are, they didn't have the right temperature dinner 20, that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point you cross over, I'm going to say if you wanted to be a historian of people, you look at the life of Adolf Hitler in his early years, there probably aren't very many people that had a worse life than that guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, living on the street, getting in the army, he wasn't the right race, so they tormented the hell out of him in there. God knows what happened to him.
He was thrown in jail a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, but at some point, I don't care about that. We got to snuff this guy out, and then we'll worry about what happened to him early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cross a line that you're not, you know, I want to see every 13-year-old be in school. I mean, what is the 13 and 15-year-old that just was out this weekend shooting into a crowd, what are they like in class on Monday morning? I mean, I can't even imagine that. Can you?
Well, I think the reality is that they're probably not in class on Monday morning.
I guess.
And I think that's part of the problem. But yes, you wonder what happens. And, you know, it's true not just on the south or the west side of Chicago. It's true in other parts of the country as well. And it's not always just a racial issue. But I think more than anything else, it's economic. It's an economic issue.
I don't disagree with that yet. I get the part where if somebody doesn't have anything to eat, they're liable to you know, filch a loaf of bread like the guy in Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure how that gets you to where you start shooting into a crowd.
Oh, no, no. I'm not trying to justify that. I'm not even trying to put those on the same equations or the same basis for the argument. But I think a lot of the problems are much more economic than they are racial profiling, which is what really tripped up Bloomberg.
Why do you suppose that our leadership, such as it is, don't seem to have any concept of the economic? I mean, they were interviewing a guy this morning. I was going to pick up AV, and he runs one of these food pantries.
Mm-hmm.
And now the federal government, you know, Trump's guys, deciding to cut back on helping these food pantries out. We've had a gentleman, and we should have him on again, Brandon. I should have him on when you're here, the head of the Chicago Food Depository.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, these people feed 250,000 people a day.
Yeah.
That's how many people that don't have dinners in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's not all of them.
It's not. And the other thing about that is it's not just the people that you would think would be going to the food pantry. In some cases, it's people who have full-time employment.
I guarantee you there are a bunch of old people on there.
Yep.
And Social Security that I'm going to use the term, piss away three-quarters of Social Security on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, that's one demographic, but yeah. I think that there are also people who go to the food pantry who are not using drugs, but who have three or four kids and can't make ends meet.
Right.
Even working one or two full-time jobs.
Don't disagree. I mean, I would hope that, do we have, if all of a sudden somebody dropped me $90 bazillion, there's an awful lot of things that I would do for people. And one of them, Brandon, is every one of these people, I mean, is as bad as the drug companies are. One of the little things they do to claim that they're actually real people and not the crooks that they are, in my mind, is give people that can't afford it, you know, supposedly. I would go around and I would, every old person in an area, not even old person, anybody who has a hardship and is paying for these prescription drugs, I would have somebody go and show them how to get in these programs. I don't think if I'm even know. I wouldn't know how to get in one.
I agree with you on both points.
I mean, we're supposed to be helping people, and we're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, this doesn't even cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying we somehow or another there has to be some rationale here, or we're not. I listened to who's the Muslim guy who's running against Dan Lipinski. There's three people running there. The guy seems bright as can be, seems nice enough, and all they're doing is talking about this, healthcare and whether it's Obama. Is not one of them says the problem is the cost in the system and how we're going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be bipartisan. It has to be both sides of the aisle. But you can't get these people to take on. They'll fight over themselves. Elizabeth Warren will point her finger at everybody. Not one of them will actually take on a drug company because every one of them's taking a check from them.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you raise that point because, you know, one of the, when you listen to Bernie Sanders, for example, talk about Medicare for all and taking away the private insurance option, and Joe Biden comes back and says, well, how much is this going to cost? And it's, you know, $40-50 trillion or whatever the number is. It's an astronomical number. But the counter argument is, how much would you save? I mean, how much is being paid into the insurance industry now in costs right now? You know, and if Bernie's number is $50 million to make this work, but overall you're paying $60 million, well, you're saving $10 trillion over the cost of it. But you know, if it's 20 that's being paid for right now, then it's increasing the cost by $30 or $40 trillion.
Well, can the government effectively pull that level out? Pull that, you know, that middleman, the insurance level out. I don't think they can.
I don't think they can. But certainly not within 4 years or even 8 years.
But I honestly think the big issue along the way is, you know, we got a little bit of time, is that the MRI has to go from 6,000 to 1,000 because that's what it should cost.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it's six, you can fire off your lips as much as you want about getting somebody else to pay for it.
Yep.
The fact is, it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason that I think healthcare costs have gone up is because of insurance and because of government subsidies.
I think it's because of concentration and monopolies in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these guys should be in jail,
mm-hmm,
for the Sherman Act. But I'm not so sure that anybody in the Senate or House would want my solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who bought a generic and raised the price is a felon.
Yeah.
According to the, I mean, but no, nobody's going to do that. Not when you got a check from the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, these are. These
so it sounds like you're endorsing Bloomberg, who doesn't need to have money from these guys.
I, as you know, I think that the problem with the Constitution is that they never thought that there were going to be things that never died and actually could pay off all 535 people in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, I mean, that couldn't have happened 150 years ago, right? There were no corporations, probably. What was the first corporation? Was it the Union Pacific?
Yeah, they came in the late 1800s.
It wasn't the Union Pacific that was the first one, but they were one of the first.
I don't know the answer to your question.
I will find this out. We'll talk about it. Well, not next week. So let me get this straight. You're going to Scottsdale.
I'm going to Scottsdale. Week.
AV is going with her new Russian friend to Arizona, and I'll be here by myself. Well, you guys are in Arizona. Are mm-hmm. you guys going to get together out there? Are you going to buy AV dinner?
I didn't know that she was going out there.
I don't know if she's going next week. But
well, we're just planning right now.
Just
and,
planning?
We're planning on April, on spring break.
Okay. Yeah. So we won't be out there at the same time.
Well, who knows? You could be going again by then. You know, it's all you do is vacation. And I love it when retired people go on vacation. I mean, isn't the whole point you're on vacation?
But it's different. It's sunshine and yes. warm weather.
It's a different locale. There you
different
go.
Locale.
Well, I would say stay away from the cruise ships.
There aren't very many cruise ships in Arizona.
No. If you were an owner of...
At least not yet. You know, with right. global warming, it could be that the water will rise high enough that California gets submerged and the western part of Arizona gets submerged, and they'll have to build a big dock in Glendale or someplace on the west side of Phoenix.
Well, how many more feet we have in Lake Michigan before downtown's underwater? About 10?
Not too much further. I can see out my window where the water's coming up, and sometimes the beach at North Avenue is completely submerged, and the water is coming up to the bike path.
Well, you know, in Ogden Dunes, Rodri had a place. We stole his friends down there. They've thrown in the towel. They've totally torn up the beach and are putting massive concrete blocks in there.
Mm-hmm.
You say we got to protect this place. We can't, even if we never have a beach again. Now, granted, if the lake drops enough, they'll end up with a beach. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be the other side of the rocks, where actually the rocks would fill in with sand, but still. They're saying we can't deal with it. We got to mm-hmm. do a, you know, Chicago Lakeshore
mm-hmm.
With rocks, and it's
well, that's what's happening up on the Evanston border, up in Rogers Park. The water is coming in and eroding under some of the homes that are or were on at one point were several feet back from the shoreline, and now the erosion is coming in and maybe.
All right, SP Futures up 14. SP Futures up 70. We're trying to make a go at this today. We'll see. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.